reading to you from the 22nd chapter of Revelation, and with the 7th verse. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been preaching ever since. Friends, listen. I urge everybody listening to this broadcast tonight to read your Bible, to find out what you believe and why you believe it. I just talked to a distraught mother whose daughter committed suicide. And she said she was saved when she was a young girl. I said, well, she's in heaven. Oh, no, 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 no. I said, what did the Bible say? Woe unto you backsliders, for I'm married unto you. Well, anyway, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea, lemonade, or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th verse, 15th chapter, and the 26th verse. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. And I've labeled this the last enemy. Well, the Bible said man was created to live. And I read in Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living creature, a living being. And God created man for an unbroken fellowship with God. But you know what? Death came because of sin. You know, friends, you don't hear much about sin anymore. You watch TV programs and Christian work, little said about sin, but sin is a terrible, terrible thing. Now, I read in Genesis 3:3, but from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it nor touch it, lest you shall die. This was the one restriction in a perfect place. Friends, I can't envision a place like the Garden of Eden where there was perfect tranquility, no sin. And all they had to do was till the gardens and then you know what else? All God wanted was for to be able to fellowship with man in the garden. Did you know that? In the cool of the evening, God wanted fellowship, and because of sin, that was broken, and Adam and Eve were cast forth out of the garden. A perfect place, but sin destroyed it. Disobedience brought death, and I read in Romans 5:12-14, therefore, just as though through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Disobedience. Friends, listen. You can read this Bible all day, but if you don't obey it, you're a foolish man. You're a foolish woman. Obey it. Do what God asks you to do. That's why I get so blessed concern about people who know that God has called each and every one of us who are born again to serve Him. You know, it's not how smart you are. It's not how good-looking you are. It's how available are you. God is not looking for super spirituals. He's looking for servants. That's what Jesus was. That's what Paul was. That's what you and I should be. Death is an enemy that stalks us all. And the Bible said that it's appointed unto a man once to die, and the judgment thereafter. This is an appointment that we all must keep. Now, you can miss appointments. You can be a realtor, and you're supposed to meet this person to show the house, and you don't show up. That's okay. That's all right. It's going to hurt your business, but it's okay. But you will keep, I will keep this appointment for death. You can cancel everything else, but you're not going to cancel this one. This enemy may overtake us in many ways. Well, sometimes in youth, even infancy. You know, crib death is a thing that nobody understands. They say they do, but they don't. Here's a little baby. You put the little thing in its crib, and it's all tucked in, and everything's all right, and you go to bed, and you wake up, and that baby's gone because God took it out. Do you know that people don't understand that? No, none of us understand all these things. It's just like my brother-in-law. He's in heaven now, but he was a surgeon, and he told me, he said, Cecil, I don't understand. I don't understand. I can perform a simple operation. Of course, I don't think anything's simple if they put you under ether and put a scalpel to you. But he said, the person comes through the operation. You take him into the room, to a recovery room. His vital signs are perfect. His heartbeat's going good. His blood pressure's good. Go back in there 10 minutes later, and he is dead. Well, I said, the Bible said it's appointed a man wants to die in the judgment thereafter. I don't understand all these things, but they do happen. Sometimes the enemy overtakes us in old age. Hey, friends, our bodies are wearing out. Did you know the minute you were born, you begin to die? The very minute you're born, you begin to die. The other day, oh, praise the Lord, my little granddaughter brought her baby down, 3-4 days old. What a beautiful little thing. But she's got yellow jaundice. I'm a thing. Every one of my grandkids have had yellow jaundice. But she's such a beautiful little baby. And my little grandson, great-grandson, is a tad jealous. And I told my wife, I said, now we got to love them both, because he's going to feel left out if we don't love them both the same. Sometimes death overtakes people through fatal accidents. Boy, oh boy, friends, right down here in Denver, you would be surprised how many fatal accidents. And guess what most of them are, believe it or not? High school kids, teenagers. I don't understand it, but they drive too fast, these fancy cars. They build cars going faster, and our speed limit's up to 75 here in Colorado, which I don't think is right. Some people lose the battle for life by cooperating with the enemy. Now, our boys and girls over there in Baghdad, they're not cooperating with the enemy, but they're losing their life daily. Why are they losing their life? Because they're over there protecting you and I. Oh, friends, when people start talking against our country, our flag, and our servicemen and women, I get furious. Now, I was spent 4 years in World War II. No, my ship didn't win the war, but we sure helped. I know a lot of boys that was killed on my ship. Oh, a lot of them. We hauled these Marines from Guadalcanal to Okinawa. These boys had spent 3 or 4 major invasions. I would suppose their ages were from 18 to 21. And they were the assault troops with the first ones we left over the side to go make the invasion on Naha. Did you know, friends? 3/4 of those young Marines died. For you and for me and for our great country. God help America. God help America to come back to Jesus. Come back and see what He did for us on the cross at Calvary. Many deaths are the result of domestic violence and crime. We've got crime in Colorado. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we do have lots of it. We got a lot of gang bangers. You know, when we go to prison, there's several gangs. There's the Oriental gangs. There's the black gangs. There's the Mexican gangs. And boy, they hate each other. All they want to do is kill. They're kind of like the Muslims. All they want to do is kill Americans and kill the Jews. But I got some news for them. They're not going to win this war. The enemy claims many lives through our wars. We know that's true. Death is an enemy our Savior has engaged. Listen, friends. Christ came to taste death for each of us, and I read in Hebrews 2:9, but we do see Him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. And friends, that's exactly what He did. He voluntarily became lower than the angels. And He humbled Himself even unto death. And I read in Philippians 2:5-7. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. We don't understand. But emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Friends, that is powerful. The enemy pursued Him from Bethlehem to Calvary. 33 years He spent on this earth. Herod's slaughter of the children of Bethlehem. He thought he was going to stomp out everything. And the guy down in Egypt, he thought he'd kill all the boy babies. He'd stop those people from growing. Well, it didn't work. It sure did not work. The attempt to cast Christ down from a hill. Listen to what it says in Luke 4:2-9. And they arose up and cast Him out of the city and led Him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw Him down the cliff. Oh, listen. The attempt to kill Christ by stoning. Friends, listen. You know why I know He was the Son of God? Because they couldn't do it. They tried, but they could not kill Him. From the day He was born, they tried to kill Jesus, and finally they took Him to the cross. Though they didn't kill Jesus, they did not kill Him. He gave His life. They didn't take His life. Remember that. He gave His life freely. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. So when you tell people say, well, the Jews killed Him. No. They put Him on the cross, and they did all those things to Him. But He gave His life. See, Satan's temptation to get Jesus to commit suicide. And I read in Matthew 4:6, and said to Him, if You are the Son of God, throw Yourself down, for it is written, He will give His angels charges concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your feet against stone. Oh, friends, listen, how they tried. Do you realize what Jesus went through for 33 years for you and I? Just think about it. My stars, He was hated by everybody. And you know what? Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, His disciples went to sleep. was out there praying alone. He said, boys, can't you stay awake with me just for a while? But they slept. Oh, dear friends, what a heartbroken Savior. Remember when he said, I would call you together like a mother hen calls her chicks, but you would not. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. His heart was in love with those people, but they turned their back on him and said, we just don't want no part of you. Well, Jesus' near experience, death experience in Gethsemane, it was sad. Oh, it was sad. And Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. But they forgot. They went to sleep. They were human. And friends, that's the story of our churches today. All over the world, our churches are asleep. Our pastors are asleep. Not all of them, but most of them are asleep. They don't care where you spend eternity. Friends, I told you I talked to 6 different preachers when I was an alcoholic, but not one of them told me there was any hope. They never told me that God loved me, that Christ died for me. Had I known that. But you know what? God said, well, if those dumb sheep won't, goats won't tell Cecil, I'll lead him to a man who will. God led me to a pastor's home. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I called him out of bed first and told him I was going to commit suicide, and I cried and I cried. He said, son, you don't have to commit suicide. You come over here and I'll talk to you. I got to his house and I sat down and I wept till I had no more tears. And he looked over me when he had tears in his eyes. He said, son, did you know what? I said, no. God loves you. He really does love you. And he wants to save you. But you got to repent. Are you godly sorrow for your sin? I said, yes, but God doesn't love me. And then he quotes John 3:16 only. He said, for God so loved Cecil Moe. Well, that made it very personal. Well, Christ had come to engage death on the cross, and he voluntarily laid down his life, and I read in John 10:17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I might take it up again. Friends, if there was no if Jesus didn't arose from the grave, we wouldn't have nothing to talk about. We would be so unhappy. But he did. He conquered death and he conquered hell. He was in full control to the very end. In Luke 23:46, and Jesus crying out with a loud voice, saying, Father, unto thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Oh, he was in control. He knew what he was doing. But you don't think for 5 minutes that he didn't suffer. Oh, my stars, I can't imagine driving those things in his hands and the crown of thorns in his head. And he did it because he loved me and he loved you. Listen, death is defeated by the promise of heaven. In the 14th chapter of John, first verse, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. The first time I heard that was at my sister's funeral, and then at my mom's funeral, and then at my dad's funeral. I couldn't understand it. I wasn't a Christian. Why did God say, don't let your heart be troubled? My heart was broken. I didn't think there was a reason to live. But after I found Jesus, or for I should say Jesus found me, then that really made sense. For God, he said, let not your heart be troubled. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I honestly don't. But I can tell you this. He's concerned about it. He definitely is concerned about it. Now, death is defeated by the promise of the coming rapture. He is coming back, beloved. Yes, he is. Don't know when. Father is the only one that knows, but he is coming back. So you better get your eyes tuned toward heaven. And if you're not saved tonight, you better do it. Because if you don't, it may be too late. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the facts. Death will finally be destroyed. And Revelation, it says there won't going to be no more death. And it shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no longer death. There shall be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first has passed away. Now, he's did that for you. He's going to wipe away our tears. I tell people, boy, I got two sisters, a mom, a dad, and two brothers in heaven. Won't the Moes have a reunion? But then it's because of one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Had he not reached down to save them and save me, we'd all burned in hell. That's the truth. Let me ask you, friend, are you ready for that great day? It's coming. No one's going to get away from it. It's coming. Are you ready? Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you have a tugging at your heart right now? A real tugging? Maybe you're a Christian and you haven't done nothing for the Lord. You just enjoyed the fellowship, going to church, Sunday school, reading the Bible, praying, but you've done nothing for Him. I beg of you tonight, bow your head to me right now. Dear Lord, I realize I've been a very disobedient Christian. Father, tonight, would you help me? Give me the courage to be a soul winner. Give me the courage to be a witness for Jesus. And I'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you say, Cecil, I don't know Jesus. And you said the Spirit of God tugging in my heart? It is. Well, all right. Then bow your head to me right now and do not, I beg of you, do not pray this unless you really mean it. Here's how the prayer goes. Precious Lord, I pray that you'll forgive my sins because I confess that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving as my personal Savior in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I'd like to hear from you. 303-471-8534. I will not use your name on air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write you and ask you for a dime. And I don't care where you go to church. I don't care what denomination you belong to. Without Jesus, you're not going to get to heaven anyway. No matter what denomination you belong to. If you're not born again, you won't see Jesus. If I can help you, please give me a call.
Praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Your notes are much sweeter than mine, and your words have reason and rhyme, and your song will stand through all time. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you, beloved, for listening. Oh, be sure and pray for my wife and I in a quartet as we go to prisons and rescue missions, and pray that God will give us a health that we can do these things. I know I'm all crippled up, and I got a little electric cart that I take in prison along with my oxygen tank. And it looks kind of funny, but I got the Word of God and I got the love of God in my heart, because He reached down in a gutter 52 years ago and saved this wretched old sinner. And then He called me to go out and tell people about Christ. I've tried to do it. I've failed the Lord. Yes, I have. Am I perfect? No. But I know Jesus. Oh, friend, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and God bless you. Real, real good.